This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Children's ability to learn languages is astonishing and has led many parents to push their children toward being multilingual. Whether it's because it's part of their heritage or just because they want to give their kids a head start on an increasingly global marketplace, many parents are dealing with the issues of teaching their kids multiple languages every day. I'm Sarah Creel, an associate professor at the University of California, San Diego, and this is Parent Savers, episode 79.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome, everybody, to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for parents of newborns, infants, and toddlers. I'm your host, John Arreal. Thanks again to all of you for being loyal listeners and for checking us out each week. We love hearing from you on our Facebook page and our Twitter accounts whenever we interact with you, especially on our taping Saturdays, where you can be a virtual panelist. So come join the conversation, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we'll tweet out about great topics like we're having today. You can also join the Parent Savers Club. Our members get access to bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways. And as you know, if you download the free Parent Savers app on the Android and iTunes marketplace, you will get notified as soon as a new podcast is available, usually on Wednesdays. So thanks for joining us. For today's topic, we've got a pretty full studio of myself and producer Aaron and some panelists as well. So we'll go around the room so you guys know who the voices are that you are listening to and what our kids' situation is. So we'll go around the room and introduce ourselves. My name's John, or I'm your host, and I have three boys, a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a two-year-old, Quinner, Whitaker, and Zyler, and we only speak one language.
The language of love.
That's right, sorry. But Christina is, her mom speaks Spanish, and everyone thinks she speaks multiple languages, but she doesn't. So anyway, Aaron.
Well, my name is Aaron Esteves, and I am the producer. I'm also known as OG Mamacita. I have one boy who is just about to turn two, and in our home, I speak to him in French, English, and Spanish, and we also sign. So it's kind of chaotic at times.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I forgot about sign language. Yeah. So maybe we could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm Sunny Galt, and I am the owner of New Mommy Media, which produces Parent Savers, Preggy Pals, The Boob Group, and Twin Talks. And I've got two little boys at home, Sayer and Urban. Sayer is my oldest. He's three. Urban's about 18 months, and I'm pregnant with twin identical girls due in December. And one language in our house, but we're very upset about that because we live in San Diego. I feel like they should be bilingual, at least in Spanish. I feel like a bad parent.
Maybe surfer language.
Yeah, right. That's what I want. Dude.
Margarita.
Yes, Margarita Salazar. I'm an attorney by trade and a mommy full time. I have twin boys. They're 3.5 years old, and we mostly speak English. We were told that autistic children should be focused on one language, and it's very difficult for them to pick up two. I disagree with that little theory because my kids actually know a little bit of Spanish. We speak fluent Spanish in our home with my parents, who are mostly primary Spanish speaking. And my kids also do some signing, but it's not American sign language, nor is it any other, I think, recognized sign language. I think it's a specific where they use just sort of terms for specific things that my children want to get. So it's not a full language. It's more of a tool. So they'll use give more, you know, very specific symbols. But there's a little bit of signing, not probably to the extent at the Esteves house.
Are these signs that they invented or signs that they were taught?
I think they're, well, no, they didn't invent, although they do other things that they've invented. Very creative, these two. No, they're actually from their their program. They have an at-home autism special ed program. Great. And they picked up on some language that they followed through at school. So
we'll talk about that, I think, a little bit more as we get in. Bestin joins us as well.
My name is Bestin Barnett. I'm a furniture maker and, I guess, primary caregiver of a nine-year-old. He is named Django. He speaks both Spanish and English quite fluently. My wife, Andrea, born in Mexico, speaks to him only in Spanish, or at least that was originally our rule. The rules have long since gone. I guess all of our hard work is done at this point with a nine-year-old. It's sort of all worked.
You're done.
I'm here for the postmortem, I guess.
Right.
You survived.
Yeah, we survived.
And then Sarah is our expert.
Hi, I'm Sarah Creel. I'm 36, just turned 36. I'm a professor at UC San Diego. I currently have zero children, although I do have one cat.
Is the cat multilingual?
Of course, she speaks in cat. Tongues.
she speaks perfectly.
Sunny's on fire over here. Are you tired? What's going on?
I think I'm slab-happy.
All right. Before we jump into today's topic, though, we're actually going to do a news headline today. And from time to time here on Parent Savers, we talk about an article that we've seen in the news or that maybe our listeners have seen and posted to our Facebook page. And we kind of give you our thoughts about it. And usually they're sort of funny. Sometimes they're shocking. So today's headline, and I'll read it for everyone here in the studio, is that Simon Cowell, and if you guys don't know him, he is a television personality. He was on American Idol and now the X Factor, big in the UK and the US. And he is his girlfriend is pregnant. And he's announced that when his baby is born, he doesn't want to watch. He doesn't want any part of it. He says he'll be as close by as he can, but he's not interested in getting up close and personal with his girlfriend when she delivers the first child together. And here's what he said. I know it sounds awful, but it's a little like you don't want to go into the restaurant while they're making your dinner. You don't want to go back into the kitchen. I just think there's certain things that you shouldn't see, and this is one of them. I'll be very close by, but no, I have no interest in being there.
So he's not going to be like in the delivery room is what he's saying.
He doesn't want to see the act of the birth happening.
Right. Okay. So it's not that he's not going to be there for his child overall. It's that he's the birthing process.
Yeah,
okay,
he's not saying like, but he doesn't want to see how the sausage is made, as it were.
He contributed to the sausage.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, I think that's...
Wait.
He provided the sausage.
That's what kind of sausage we're
Sarah.
But I think that's one of those interesting things that, you know, I hear dads sometimes, too, that'll brag like, oh, I've only changed one diaper. I was reading about a sports athlete that said something like that. And it's just surprising that there are, you know, I think that we've evolved a little bit in this day and age that there's now this kind of expectation that this viewpoint is shocking. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, maybe when I was born or maybe when Aaron was born. No, she's only a couple years old. You know, dads weren't really, it would have been odd for a dad to be in the delivery room and be a part of it. And now he comes out with this and it's a shock and it's a shocking and surprising standpoint.
Is it shocking? Are you really shocked? Yeah, I was just going to say, are you really shocked that Simon Cowell said that though?
I don't think I'm shocked because it's Simon, one. Yeah. But yeah. I think anything coming out of his mouth would be sort of, you know, it's par for the course. I mean,
right.
You've heard him as a judge. I mean, true. He said some pretty harsh things to some of the contestants. So I think
I'm just so surrounded, and maybe it's through Parent Savers or maybe through the community that I'm in, that I'm surrounded by a lot of hands-on dads that couldn't imagine not being in the room to be there with their wife if they had the choice.
I'm not shocked at all.
But also keep in mind that Simon Cowell is British, and I'm not trying to generalize or sound pejorative in any way.
But let me generalize and be pejorative.
No. But it's just that he comes from a particular his generation, like you were talking about generational differences, is he comes from a very kind of hands-off culture,
right?
You know, so actually I kind of commend him for coming forward and saying that, because it is controversial, because here, like you said, there are so many hands-on dads.
Yeah,
but again, I think it's culturally specific. I think it's American, and I think it's kind of like the crunchy dads are more hands-on.
I mean, I'll be very honest, and if I get some emails, I totally understand, but I didn't want to see my own
neither did I
delivery
I
of my children
down south.
Well, no, it's not not so much the down south part. I mean, I had a C-section, and, you know, I was cut open in a very vivid way, to be sort of, I guess, vivid. Some of the parents have gone through that experience. It's not pretty. It isn't pretty. Yeah. And in fact, throughout the entire procedure, I was nauseous. And something I've shared with very few people, when the doctor came to hand me my child, one of the first baby that came out, mm-hmm. I could not touch him. I couldn't look at him because I felt like I was going to vomit. So I said, no, please don't bring me my baby because I'm going to throw up. I mean, as the nurses, they were bringing me the baby and I was physically sick. So it was, I totally get Simon.
So you totally,
Mr. Cow, I understand.
Think it's a good idea. Right.
No, if you know you're queasy, and he knows at least, yeah. I had no idea. I mean, I was under the impression that I was going to be, give me my baby.
Right.
No, just take him away. I was so concerned about throwing up on my child.
See, that's a really good point because she's saying that he's coming from a stance of, you know, like, he's going to get sick. He's afraid he's going to pass out or faint, you know, so he's trying to save face in that way, as opposed to, I am man. I shan't be bothered.
I think you guys are giving Simon Cowell a lot of credit right now. I think he just didn't want to get his hands dirty and, you know.
He'd rather be smoking a cigar.
He wears white t-shirts and he could get dirty. I don't know.
Nice. All right. Thanks. And we'll put a link up to this one on our site and on the episode page.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks, everyone, for sticking with us through the news headline. Today's topic is teaching your kids multiple languages. It's one that I know a lot of families face, especially if they were raised speaking multiple languages. But there's even families that don't speak multiple languages that are introducing their kids to them as well. So today we're talking with Sarah Creel, an associate professor of cognitive science at the University of California, San Diego. So thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you for inviting me.
So are babies equipped to handle multiple languages at once? Or, I mean, how many? What's their capacity?
Definitely. Probably trying to learn 6 languages at once would be a bit much because we know that there's only so much time in the day and you do need a certain amount of exposure to a language to be able to learn it. However, if you look across the world, more than half of the world's population speaks at least 2 languages on a regular basis. And so thinking that bilingualism is some sort of unusual thing is that's really not the case. Yeah. So definitely. And you might argue, in fact, that infants are better than anyone else at learning multiple languages.
Right. I mean, in a sense, they speak none, or they speak a lot of different languages as they come out, because they're not wired to speak anything specifically.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so they're making sense of the whole world, and it's all kind of either one and the same, depending how you look at it, or they're speaking a little bit of everything as they're communicating.
Yeah, so there's evidence that very early in life, infants are able to distinguish any pair of speech sounds that you can find in any language across the world, and that gradually they narrow down to just distinguishing the speech sounds in their own language. And there are some exceptions to that, but by and large, it does seem like they're quite good at distinguishing speech sounds for any language, so they're pretty much equipped to learn any language or set of languages.
I guess it's evolutionary, right, that they're going to need to be able to adapt like that? I mean, what is it about their brains? I mean, it's survival, right, that they need to...
Well, certainly it's survival, and we have a lot of questions about how language evolved in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that the things that allow human beings to learn languages aren't specific to a particular language. So you need to have some flexibility. Even as adults, people don't think about this a lot, but as adults, we learn tons and tons of new words. I mean, iPhone, twerk. sorry about that last one. Words I wish I hadn't learned. But so we do need to be flexible and to be able to incorporate new information into our language knowledge. And so for infants, they certainly wouldn't want to be too specialized to one particular language.
Right.
And
Can I ask you a question, Sarah? When you talk about languages, are you referring to the sounds, or does that also include, for instance, accents?
So that's a really good question. Yeah. So different accents. So you can have multiple different kinds of accents in the same language, even within the same country. So I actually grew up in South Carolina, and and that's a very different accent than you find in California. And then you can have accents due to, so if someone is a native speaker of Spanish and they're speaking English, they're going to sound a little different than an American English speaker. If I speak Spanish, I'm definitely going to have a funny accent.
Sure. So just like Simon Cowell's accent versus our accent versus an Australian.
Right.
It's all English, but
Kids recognize it, like she's saying, because my niece and nephew, their father is actually British. He said, you know, mommy and daddy speak differently. Mommy says tomato and daddy says tomato.
Perfect.
That's funny.
That was Irving Berlin, right? I got to say that I think when I first realized our sort of experimentation on my son was working, and this is very early on, when I realized that he said no differently to me and to Andy, you know, he said no to her, and I got a no. It was like clear. He was already getting it. He only knew one word, but he already knew it in two languages, you know. There's other reasons why it's not exciting to hear no for a 1-year-old, but in that regard, it was good.
Yeah. Are there languages that it's easier for babies to learn and that are harder, or are they, since they're so adaptable, is it all kind of the same?
It really is all kind of the same. So any language is going to have, harder parts and easier parts. But in terms of if you look across the world's languages at how infants acquire those languages, the basic patterns look pretty similar. So it doesn't seem like there's really a language that's harder versus easier. If you want to talk about reading acquisition, so once you get to the age where kids are trying to learn to map their speech sound representations onto text, that's a different kettle of fish. English is actually has messed up orthography. Inconsistent spelling sound correspondence rules. And so it turns out that English is a bit harder to learn to read in than other languages. So
interesting.
So maybe we shouldn't be teaching our kids English.
So I have a question in regard to phonics, you know, the phonetics of different languages. So I had read that while in utero, the child that is exposed to his or her mother speaking multiple languages will have a wider spectrum of phonetic markers to cling to as they speak themselves. So is that?
So I'm not familiar with this study that you're talking about in particular, but certainly we do know that in the last trimester that there some sound information gets in. I generally tell my students that I haven't been there, but my understanding is that it's what's called a low-pass filter. The uterine environment is a low-pass filter so that kids can hear something that maybe sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. So, so that kind of sound pattern. And so they do pick up on information about the rhythm of their language. And so I can imagine that if a kid's hearing languages of different rhythmic classes, that might aid them later on.
Yeah, see, you're giving too much credence to what I was reading, because I don't think it was a study. No, but
it might
thank
be.
You.
So half the kids in the world, I think you said, are, you know, multilingual.
At least half the people in the world, as far as individual children. I'm not sure what the stats are.
I know a joke about this one. You want to hear it real quick?
Yes.
If you speak three languages, they call you trilingual, and you speak two, they call you bilingual, but if you only speak one, they call you American. You heard that one before?
It's
sad but true.
Yep. Nice. But I guess, so my question would be, though, is there some sort of brain advantage or a way that maybe, you know, those people who do speak multiple languages, those non-Americans, if you will, broadly speaking, are they advantaged somehow by being able to have, are they using more of their brain because they speak multiple languages?
So there is this myth that people only use 15% of their brains. That would be a big problem. It turns out that people that are missing large proportions of their brain, that does make life more difficult for them. So it's quite a myth that people use only a small proportion of their brains. However, yes, there is some evidence that bilingualism gives you certain cognitive advantages. One really obvious advantage is you can talk to more people.
Yeah, sure.
But at a more cognitive level, it's thought to make you better at cognitive inhibition. So you're better at doing things like, you know, where you have a series of stoplights and one of them turns green, so you go, and then it suddenly turns red again and you have to stop. being able to stop yourself is a type of inhibition. So the reasoning is that the reason that we think that bilingual children, adults, even older adults are better is that because they have two languages, they're constantly having to inhibit or sort of hold back one language when they're talking in the other and vice versa. So they're used to inhibiting things all the time.
Yeah. So I want to ask you guys, do you feel like you're doing that stopping?
Well, see, that's perfect, because when I said at the intro that it was chaos, I fail at the inhibiting aspect, because sometimes I open my mouth and I honestly do not know what language is going to come out, particularly if it's something that's like requires a sudden response.
Probably some amount of language mixing goes on in any household. There's a little bit of evidence that at least very early in language acquisition, there language mixing is associated, and this is one paper, but that language mixing is associated with slightly slower vocabulary acquisition, but it's not clear that that continues throughout life. And certainly there are numerous cases where it's to the child's advantage to hear both languages. So
okay, that's number one. That's a relief and a kind of an explanation, because I have noticed that he does kind of seem slow on the uptick as far as like picking up vocabulary. But I keep telling myself, if he's not speaking by 14, then I'll be concerned.
Right.
Can I say my experience is a little interesting. It's a little closer to what maybe your son is experiencing. My parents came to the United States speaking only Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I was raised obviously with my parents, but I went to American schools and I also watched Saturday morning cartoons, so which were in English. So I learned, I think, English from my environment, but I also had Spanish from my home. And what I had to do was translate for my parents, which was a never-ending, frustrating experience for me. You know, as a child, I'm 6'5", whatever it is, and I go to the grocery store, to the restaurant, to just a business office,
anywhere,
to the post office, back to my school. And, you know, my mother would say, tell them or ask them X, and then I'd have to sort of repeat. So I think I learned the distinction between one language and another language very, very early, mm-hmm. Not by any effort, just by, you know.
Well, I know that in my household, when I was growing up, my father was always adamant, you finish that sentence in the language you started it in.
Mm. That's a good rule.
Period. Mm-hmm. We had two sets of dictionaries, one in English and one in Spanish. Don't throw a word in from the other language. Go look it up. So, but now as he's much older, he's mixing in his languages, and I always tease him about it now, but I still can't stop myself from mixing languages with a 2-year-old.
Besson, what's your experience? Like, you talked about your experiment.
The experiment, well, I think we, you know, because of the position we found ourselves in, you know, two parents, two languages, we kind of stuck with a conventional approach. There were periods in which, you know, certainly his English is better than his Spanish, though not markedly so. But there were periods in which he definitely favored English over Spanish. And one thing I found is that he had a preternatural sense for if someone understood English. Mm. Even if he'd never heard them speak a word of English, he could kind of tell, and he'd know he could get away with English.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's kind of gone. That might have been just a sort of a shyness period more than anything to do with languages, because now he's completely comfortable walking up to you and switching languages.
Your son's name is Django, right?
Yes.
Was he also educated in, I'm assuming he went to American schools?
No, he goes to a public school, but it's entirely bilingual. It's half day English, half day Spanish.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I could talk about that at length, but not everybody in the country has the opportunity to go to a place like that. My sense is that learning to understand languages, they're going to get them. If you speak them around them, someone is speaking them around them, there's any reason for them to be paying attention to that person at all, they're going to learn them. But learning to produce the languages is really a separate challenge that can be pretty tricky. And the only way you can guarantee that a kid will learn to produce the language is if there's some utility in it for them. Mm-hmm. Like there's some reason for them to do it.
That's true.
They really can't get around it. They got to speak in this language or that language.
Right.
All right, let's take a quick break on the conversation and then we'll do the second half of the show right after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back, everybody. Today we are talking about teaching your kids multiple languages with Sarah Creel. So Beston was talking before the break about, kind of the difference between processing language and producing it. How is it? What have you found, with kids' brains and how they're able to do that?
Oh, wow. So a lot of the research that I'm mentioning here is, I can't take credit for it. It's, a long tradition of people for decades who have been researching this area. One of the things that they've found does concern this issue of producing a language versus understanding it. And so one thing that seems pretty important in getting kids to produce both of the languages that they're hearing is having fairly equal amounts of input. So we know even for monolingual kids that the amount of input is really important. And if you get more language input, you're going to have a bigger vocabulary. And so for kids being raised bilingual, probably the same, you want to give them lots of input in both languages. And if one language gets way less of the attention or input, sometimes kids will understand that language, but not necessarily be willing to talk to you in that language, even though they understand it. So you might speak to them in Spanish and they might reply in English, even though. So they understood what you said, but they refused to reply back in the language you spoke to them in.
And then do you maybe reach a point where it's going to be, even as they get older, harder and harder for them to produce it?
That may be the case. If you can get them into a situation where they're just getting lots of exposure, that's probably the best way to combat that. But, it's something that just interacts with, you're trying to bring up your kids and, keep them off drugs and every other,
off the pole.
Off the twerking. Stripper pole. all the other things that can go wrong. And so I think with a lot of parents that just, there are priorities. You pick your battles. But if that's something that you have some control over, then, it can't hurt.
So if I decided I wanted to learn Spanish or Chinese or something, what would happen if I tried to go through that with my kids? Is that a horrible idea because I'm going to hold them back? Or
not necessarily. So I would recommend, if you're proposing that you learn, say, Mandarin and you teach it to your kid, there's a little bit of evidence that children can take sort of noisy input. So they can take language input that's not perfect and can sort of figure out the rules of the language, even though their input is not perfect. But by and large, You want them to be learning from a fluent speaker. And you also want to be learning from a fluent speaker. There does seem to be a general tendency for kids up to, say, age 6 and maybe a little older to have a little bit of an advantage at learning a language to native-like proficiency. We don't know how much that has to do with brain factors. So their brains are more plastic, so they're more moldable. They can still, as adults, we're more set in our ways, both in terms of daily habits and in terms of our brains. But there's also the fact that, if I move to France, I'm probably going to have other English speakers around me who I can speak to, whereas if I had a 5-year-old kid, they would just get stuck in school and would be completely immersed. So some of those factors may affect child-adult differences. But there does seem to be a general trend sort of leading up to puberty for kids' abilities to natively acquire language to decrease.
So at 0 to 13, maybe 0 to 14.
Yeah.
Without sticking a pin in it.
And then there's also a lot of variability in adults, and that probably has to do with social identification and effort and amount of exposure, and we really don't know yet.
All right. Well, we've filled up this episode again. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks for joining us in studio, Margarita and Beston. This has been Parent Savers. For more information about teaching your kids multiple languages, we're going to put links up on our website on the episode page. So check that out at parentsavers.com. We're going to continue the conversation for members of our Parent Savers Club after the show. We're actually going to talk a little more about television. I think it's something that Margarita talked about a little bit, too. You hear that anecdotally a ton of people learning languages in a new place from television. So I've got a question about that. So stick around, members of the club, for that. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, Parent Savers, this is Sunny. I'm one of the producers on the show. I'm sitting here with Bianca Pratt. She's the owner and founder of Simple Nature, which is a company that makes all-natural, organic baby care. So, Bianca, welcome to the show.
Hi.
And I should start out the interview by saying we're recording this at the ABC Kids Expo, and poor Bianca has been inundated with so many people are interested in her product. She's been talking about it all day long, and her voice, you know, is starting to fade a little bit.
It's more than fading.
But you can still talk about your product. Yes. And talk about how great it Yes. is. And we definitely want to hear about that. So, Bianca, I know it's a new company. So tell us a little bit about why you started the company.
Okay, well, I've always been in the beauty industry. It's been my passion.
Okay.
I oddly had a strange obsession with skincare from a very young age. And, you know, my family always said, oh, you're going to do something in the skincare industry. And, you know, they were absolutely correct. I'm a medical esthetician.
Okay.
I'm a licensed cosmetologist. I'm actually also a laser technician and laser safety officer. So, you know, I've done a lot of training. I've worked on many, many people trying to help them with their skin ailments and, you know, really aid them and help them to feel better about themselves and educate, you know, so it's really been my passion. It really wasn't until, I'd say a few years ago when I started realizing that some of the well-known products that I was using were actually really irritating my skin. And I have sensitive skin myself. When I was pregnant, now that was the scary thing because you're told so many things, don't use this, don't eat that, and you know, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
You know, you hear so many things, and I was beyond terrified, you know. First time parent, you know, I just didn't want to do anything that was going to harm my child. So I went way overboard, you know.
Right. What makes your company different, would you say?
We are actually really stylish, you know. I felt like, I don't know, some companies were kind of stuck in the 80s. There was changes that needed to be made as far as appeal. You know, this isn't a company just for babies. It's a company for women who are pregnant, you know, newborn through adult, especially people with skin sensitivities like myself.
So what are some of the products that you are really proud of?
Oh, my goodness.
How much time do you have, Sunny?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I will tell you, I did create two product lines, fragrance varieties. I have my fragrance-free. This is for the truly, truly sensitive skin types where you just cannot handle any kind of essential oils or, you know, certain types of natural extracts. So we have our formulas in fragrance-free minus the essential oils. And then, of course, we have our extremely popular orange smoothie. And I can't tell you enough how popular this stuff is. It's a very proprietary blend. There are other companies that have, you know, orange and tangerine kind of stuff, but ours is very unique, and I think you really have to try it to see for yourself. Definitely the orange smoothie. If you like mild fragrances that are uplifting, that smell really fresh and yummy, and make your bath time experience, especially for you and your child, you're just gonna love it. You're gonna fall in love. And let me add, our lotions, they absorb very quickly. You don't have to spend forever, you know, massaging and trying to get the product to sink in.
Right.
And it lasts for hours. It can it literally lost all day.
Well, we do encourage all of our listeners to go to simplenature.co because they are offering a special discount. If you enter promo code ABC20, you'll get 20% off of your order, and that's for a limited time only. So be sure to head on over there and check it out as soon as you can. So Bianca, it was so nice having you on our show, and I appreciate you coming out, even though I know you're losing your voice. You're such a trooper.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you guys listening to Parent Savers. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, as well as our new show, Twin Talks, for parents of twins. There's a ton of stuff I know that Margarita would be interested in. I think about everything we do applies to you as well.
I know.
Next week, we'll be talking about libraries and what a great resource they are for new families and new parents. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun: Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.